we get it underway this afternoon by talking a little Maine hockey as Mike Toole joins us in studio. Mike, good to see you again.
Hello, Richard. It's great to be back here. It's great to see Kerry the Cajun back with us.
Mm.
Back from Nolens.
It's been nice to be back, except for Mother Nature. Other than that, everybody else has been
so
very
you got
welcoming.
Back in time for Friday and Saturday, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, bummer. Since he's come back, our weather has largely stunk. And, yeah. Not a day goes by when Kerry...
I always thought of him as a ray of sunshine.
I do, too. But he gets this wistful look in his eye, and then you hear him mutter to himself, why didn't I stay till March?
As the clouds gather on the horizon.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Well, welcome back. Good to see you.
Good to be here.
You've had a little work done under the hood since we saw you last.
I'm playing hurt right now. Yeah, had a little disc surgery about 3 weeks ago. I have more replacement parts, and they're made of titanium. So, I have trouble getting through the airport check-in. So, just gotta live with it.
You're gonna be like Steve Austin, $6 million man. I mean, price has gone up now.
Well, I know it's inflation, so it's at least 16, I think, with inflation. But you know, we'll survive.
Yeah, but you're feeling good on the road to recovery. Patience, right? Patience.
Patience is not part of my genetic makeup, and I'm having to. Just kind of suffer through with very little use of my left hand. I got a nerve that's pinched running down my arm, and that's why they replaced the disc. So, yeah. Yep. Had the same thing 23 years ago at a lower level, and that was the end of my hockey career. I will tell you, the surgical techniques in the last 23 years have come quite a ways.
Oh, I'll bet. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, last time I was in a neck brace and 2 months, couldn't work. Of course, that was in the days of not working from home. You were either at work or you were... Right. At home, excuse me, and now I mean, I didn't have to wear a collar. I could drive after 2 days. You know, kind of back to where I was, except for the wing here.
Wing.
But yeah, we'll you'll come back. You don't need two hands to broadcast hockey, Richard.
No, you don't. Unless it's to
although
stand
it would
up
be nice.
Pump your fist there after an exciting finish to yesterday's game. We'll talk about that in a bit.
Yeah.
Let's start with Friday night, the third meeting in just a couple of weeks with Boston University. And
yes.
That Terrier team, they're pretty good.
Yeah, they're going to be in it at the end, I'm pretty sure. There's just so much skill on that team. And there's some obvious names, and there's some names that are relatively new, like defenseman Lane Hudson, 4 assists Friday night. He was a guy we profiled, and Coach Pandolfo, we have a meeting with both coaches before the game, and he was just like, well, this kid is just this next level and how he sees the ice. And I know that's kind of thrown around out there. Oh, he sees the ice well. This kid really sees the ice well. That's step one or half the battle. Then the other half is to deliver the puck where you want to on time, on tape. And he did it 4 times Friday night. And, you know, Maine really... If you're looking at it from the standpoint of did we play better than we did down there at Boston University 2 weeks prior? Yeah, way better. I mean, I hadn't even finished my first Boston Lager before they were down 4-0, and you know, and then taking penalties and all that. So big improvement, tightened down defensively. The biggest thing in talking to Coach Barry goes, you know. And he said, yeah, this is on me. I might have pumped them up a little bit too much when we were playing them in Boston. Might have kind of made them feel like they shouldn't be aggressive. And that's the worst thing you can do against a highly skilled team. You have to force the issue all over the ice. And they really didn't. Friday night, for sure. Saturday night, they didn't in the first period. But they came back and tied it in the second period. Tied it at 5. And now Maine only averages 2.4 goals a game. Mm. They score 5. Unfortunately, they gave up 9 eventually. Yeah. They pulled Ostman, you know, and the way Maine played. And they actually scored a go-ahead goal that was called back. Would have made it 6-5, okay? So, you know, you look back at these things, and sometimes pulling the goaltender, it's amazing how often that actually works. It sends a message to the whole team, you know.
Right.
That we got to get, you know, get our act together.
Yeah.
And, you know, it didn't work out that way. But I think if they kept Ostman in there, maybe it would have been a slightly better outcome. I think they still would have lost the way they were playing. But to turn around 2 weeks later, they got the 2 big wins with Providence. That was huge. Mm. And then to play BU the way they did Friday night was encouraging. Okay, so they give up the first goal, tie it. Give up the second goal, tie it. Give up the third goal, tie it. And then the third period, you know, their skill really took over. Wilmer Skoog is just kind of next level guy. He's a senior. And that goal that he scored, you're not going to see a goal like that scored, you know, every 10 years. He basically got the puck along the goal line, was facing the net. He was being defended. He turned his back to the defender to shield the puck. Now, the puck is only like 6 inches in front of the goal line. He's on his backhand because he's a left-handed shot on the right wing side. And he just shovels this thing up under the crossbar. Now, on the replay, if you see it, Osman is tight to the post like he should be. He's got the whole lower two-thirds of the net, probably more because he's a big guy.
Yeah.
Even on his knee, he's covering most of the net. There's about a puck and a half width of opening, and Skoog finds it with a backhander from 6 inches in front of the goal line and maybe 10 feet off to the side. Mm. So you just go, okay, well, you tip your hat and go, all right, nothing we can do about that one. And then they got the insurance goal, and Boston University did a great job of limiting chances for Maine the rest of the game. And if you look back, and we talk with Coach Barr before every game, and of course it starts with what happened the last game. And I even said this, which makes me feel good, like I understood what was happening. He said our response shift after each BU goal was, what's the technical term he used? It started with dog.
Okay.
This is the thing I love about Coach Barr. He's so forthcoming.
Did it freeze before it hit the ground, like with my dog? No, he's great too, because he.
Oh yeah.
Whether it's talking about something he's done wrong or what the team needs to do better, he doesn't sugarcoat it.
No, he doesn't. He's very forthcoming, forthright, and takes ownership. Probably takes more ownership than he really needs to, because we all know Maine lacks scoring depth. They lack depth in general. Mm. You get past their first two lines, and then it's the production drops off pretty dramatically. But he said, and I said this on air, and I'm glad he confirmed it, is our response to each BU goal the next shift was either we took a penalty or we spent a minute in our own zone. Mm. So a team like BU, when you score on them, they're going to respond.
Right.
Providence responds.
Yep.
Merrimack responds, although they didn't yesterday. But, all the good teams, there's pushback. And so, it's part of the learning process. You have to learn how to win in this league. And part of learning how to win is understanding the situation that you're in. And, it means shift right after each goal that tied it up, which is all so exciting, right?
Mm.
Was a dog. I mean, they took a penalty or they just spent too much time grinding in their own zone, and shortly thereafter BU scored. And then, but going into the third period, where I believe it was a 3-3 game, I look at my notes, but it was a winnable game. Scoring chances, which is really more meaningful than shots on goal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, scoring chances are legitimate chances that get through to the goaltender basically from between the face-off dots and the top of the face-off circles. Okay, those are called scoring chances. And because your probability of scoring from there is just that much higher. So it's just a better gauge. And I think it was 14-12 favoring BU. So not as lopsided as you might think. Fast forward to Sunday, and you got the odd start time. 2:00. That only happens a couple times a year. Actually, it's going to happen next weekend too, on the road. And it's just kind of weird because you don't skate on Saturday after a Friday night game, And so it's not like you're working on a lot of stuff. And so they give up the first goal, 1:25 into the game Sunday, and you're thinking, oh, geez, this is what I was afraid of, is that, the carryover from the third period to the next game is a problem. And Merrimack is a very senior and grad student laden team. I think there's 9 of them on their team. Maine has a couple, maybe four, three. Maine has a lot of freshmen. And now they're skating eight freshmen. Holt's out for a while, so who knows? But when he's in there, they're skating nine freshmen. And every coach that we talk to, the opposing coaches, and we have our meetings, they're all saying the same thing. They can't believe how much better Maine is this year than last year. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're looking at the one loss column, you're going, okay, they're a little better. But the eyeball test, when you watch them play,
right.
I think we talked about it last time, how they exit their zone, how they, you know, how they get the puck in deep, how they forecheck aggressively. It's very, very effective. What they struggle with is finishing around the net. They get one or two guys that can score and that can finish around the net, they're gonna be dangerous. And all the coaches that we talk to say, yeah, we know he's got some guys coming in next year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we want to beat up on him while we can.
Yeah.
You know,
well, Sunday was great, and boy, that game winner in overtime by Ben Poisson, that was a thing of beauty.
Well, there's a couple of excellent plays that led to that. So it's 3-on-3, which is highly entertaining in the overtime. Mm. It's a completely different game.
Yeah.
It's puck possession. Teams are not afraid. If the play isn't there, they don't force it. They throw it back, even outside of the zone, regroup and come back in. There's so much open ice that it just changes the way the game is played. And both teams had high-quality scoring opportunities. I think it was it Seifert that is either Seifert or Forsmark that was stopped cold by Osman in overtime. Maine goes down the other end. They get their chance, and you know they don't score. So teams were back and forth, and then Lyndon Breen gets the puck, gets it into the offensive zone. Now, what he normally tries to do is he likes to drive to the net. I mean, he's one of the fastest guys out there. But when he puts on the brakes abruptly and goes up the, what we call in hockey, the half wall. I'm going to sound like you know what you're talking about at a party.
I like that.
Oh, he's scored from the half wall. What? So he stops top of the faceoff circle, brings it up, and now he's waiting for help. Finds Antonacci. Antonacci immediately wrists it on net, just wide of the net, as Poisson is driving to that right post, and all he's got to do is put his stick on it, tap it in. I don't know, it sounds easy, but it was a high-quality play. But it wasn't just Poisson. You got to recognize, you know, what's happening and get there for sure. You got to look for options and not turn the puck over. You turn the puck over on a 3-on-3, it's usually trouble. And if memory serves, that's how the scoring chances that happened before that. That's how that evolved. So he puts on the brakes, looks across, finds Antonacci, who's made himself available. And this is rink wide.
Mm.
And then Antonacci goes the other way to the right post as Poisson is driving. And it was great to see a clean goal win it in overtime. I hate when a cheapie goes and they got to review it. Maine's got to clean some stuff up. I mean, it took seven penalties for 17 minutes Sunday.
Well, this weekend, they'll take on Boston College, and the Eagles struggling of late. They've gone six games without a victory, a couple of ties and four losses in those last six games.
The key to beating them will be to stay out of the penalty box. Their power play is off the charts good. And we got that from Coach Pandolfo. He said it's the best power play they've seen this year. So, and that's why I said, you know, Maine's got some work to do and they've got to clean it up. You take seven penalties in 17 minutes, including in the second period, three penalties right in a row.
Yeah.
And we can get into, you know, the philosophy about why Maine is getting so many penalties in a second. I mean, you know, they haven't quite earned the respect of the rest of the league to get the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so a Maine player gets taken down. Well, they're not that good. He can't skate. You know, a Maine player runs into an opponent, and Maine picks up two, and then they review it and make it five.
Yeah,
that's happened a few times. So, anyway, these are winnable games the rest of the way. You got Boston College Friday night. You got UMass Lowell Sunday. Okay, I mean they're tough, but.
You know, you can play with them.
You can play with them. And then you go to UNH for two. Okay, UNH is struggling, as we know, but UNH knocked off Merrimack.
Mm-hmm.
They've knocked off some people in the last couple weeks. Excuse me. And then you've got Boston College back at Alphon for two Friday, Saturday night, and you wrap the season with UMass, who's also struggling and come down from the heights of where they were, you know, a few years ago. So Maine is in eighth right now, and yep. 1 point out of seventh. Boston College is right ahead of them. Okay. You know, you finish in the top six, you host a home playoff.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
Absolutely.
And you win that, and then you're going on the road somewhere. You know, they reseed, and then, you know, you're going on the road for a one-game playoff.
The big thing is you just want to be playing your best hockey by the time the tournament starts.
No doubt. No doubt. We say that every year, mostly because it's true. And and Maine really is, you know, with a few. I mean, there's always, you know, this team is always something you've got to address. And sometimes it's discipline. Sometimes it's starting on time. Sometimes it's, you know, finishing well, like it was against Boston College. So, you know, are they better than they were a year ago? Miles better, no doubt, no doubt. And there's never an issue of Maine getting outworked. In fact, Jay Pandolfo, the BU coach, said to us, he goes, look, they're physical. They're forecheck. We're kind of worried about it. We know we got to move the puck quickly. And Maine is most effective when they're getting pucks deep and getting into their forecheck. Merrimack did a really good job yesterday of defeating that forecheck. In fact, Maine had to adjust and send more than one guy in. Their defensemen move it pretty quickly and so forth. And it wasn't until the third period. And I said in the first period, when Maine had taken, I believe they took two penalties in the first period, they got their best offensive chances shorthanded in the first period. Didn't score. Now, I'd like to, you know, pretend that I was Nostradamus and predicted that penalties in the third period would lead to two shorthanded goals by Lyndon Breen, but I did not see that coming. Let's be honest.
When's the next TV broadcast?
We do every game, so.
Even on the road?
They will be on, it wouldn't be us, yeah. It would be ESPN Plus. Right.
But for you, when's your next
broadcast? 2 weeks, a week from whatever the next home game is against Boston College on Friday night.
Nice.
And Jeff Mannix is on the call. He's awesome. He's just so great to work with. He's so prepared.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. and then I slide over and talk to John Shields and try to embellish on what Larry's been saying for 2 hours. Try to add a little bit of color around it.
And there you go.
Yeah, so it's good, clean fun.
Excellent. We're looking forward to it. Mike, good to talk with you as always.
You too, Richard. Thanks for having me in.
Good luck
good to see you guys both.
The ongoing recovery here.
Well, yeah, it'll be a little while. I got to be patient, but I'm confident. You know, and I'm off from Oxy and all that. So
that's good.
Yeah. Notice how clear-headed I am now, today?
Yes.
Yeah.
I almost didn't recognize you.
Thanks a lot, guy.
I kid. Thank you, Mike. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, Rich.
Mike Toole talking Maine hockey with us here on Downtown 24 after the hour. By the way, our Black Bear reports are brought to you on the program by ClearPoint Capital. Call Mike. Yes, that Mike right there at 307-7718. And by Bennett Auto Center, 24 Thatcher Street, Bangor. Everything from oil changes to engine jobs from experienced local people you can trust. Visit them online, too, at BennettAutoCenter.com.